gospel reading today is perhaps the most dramatic moment in the entire public ministry of Jesus. As Jesus prepares to go to his own death, he gives this final sign to us of the surety of his dominion over death. It's as if he's trying to show us as plainly as possible, I am in control of life and death. But God works in unexpected ways, and this gospel is filled with unexpected events. In fact, I think that's what maybe makes it so dramatic. Because by this time, we're at the end of Jesus' public ministry. I think people have gotten accustomed, even those who followed him, of what Jesus does and how he does it. The story had played out over and over, Jesus' whole ministry to go heal people. The story was known, if someone was sick, you call Jesus, Jesus comes, Jesus either speaks some words or he touches the person and he raises them up and they're healed. That, at the beginning, had been a huge miracle, that when Jesus first heals someone, people are astounded. What is this? This is something incredibly new. But by this time in Jesus' ministry, people are even used to that. They've seen people who are lame and can't walk be raised and get up. Last week we saw the man born blind where Jesus was able to heal his sight, to restore it, even though he had never seen. Believe it or not, these miracles had become so commonplace that maybe people had ceased to even be astounded by them. But we see in our gospel today something that even blows away the disciples. They're not expecting it. Notice in our gospel today that they expect that Jesus could do something. That's why they're complaining that it seems that Jesus has broken the mold. Lazarus has died. Something has gone terribly wrong. Could not the man who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died? They know the pattern at this point. Lazarus is sick. We need Jesus to come and he'll lay his hands on him. He'll speak some words over Lazarus and Lazarus will be okay. Amazing. They've got that faith. They know Jesus can do this. They know how he works. And so it's not surprising that they come to him and they say, Master, the one you love is ill. And we would expect that Jesus would go. Notice that it is not because Jesus does not care. Sometimes it seems that, well, these are strangers, and does Jesus really care? These are his best friends. Mary and Martha and Lazarus, he stays at their house when he's in Bethany. It says very plainly in the scripture, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Sometimes when God doesn't answer our prayers in exactly the way we think, we perhaps question, does God hear us? Or does God really love us? We would expect when we read in the gospel, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that he was ill, he went immediately to cure him. That's what we would expect. But in the gospel today it says, so when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. What's going on here? Why would Jesus do that? I think it's because he wants to further stretch our faith, to even bring about something even more unexpected. So he waits. He knows that Lazarus has died. Could Jesus have come? He certainly could have come. But he allows Lazarus to die so that they can see that Jesus doesn't just have power to cure people. People who will eventually die again. The man born blind would eventually die. Everyone that Jesus healed would eventually get sick again and die. Death is the last enemy. Jesus had to show that he could be victorious even over our darkest enemy. And so he says, it is better for you that I was not here. Amazing. Jesus delays his coming to bring about a greater miracle. And I think that's what we need to see in all our lives when our prayers seem to go unanswered. Why does some person pray for the healing of their loved one and that person gets well, a great miracle, but I pray for my loved one and they still die? This story is for all of us. All of us who have ever seemingly had our prayers unanswered, or it seems that Jesus delays. It is showing that Jesus wants to give us something even greater, to do the unexpected. In my own life, it is perhaps these unexpected blessings of God that I look back and can say most clearly that God knew what he was doing, that these are the important moments. And perhaps it's often the things that we are most afraid of that Jesus has to help us. Because even when Lazarus comes out, notice he's still tied. He would have been wrapped for the Jewish burial with burial cloths. And he says, untie him and let him go. There's two parts to this raising. Lazarus has to be raised to life, and we would consider that to be the great miracle. But then he has to be untied and let go. All of us that have been baptized, we've experienced this first miracle, this raising of Lazarus. But in many ways, it is still possible for us, even after our baptism, to still remain bound. That although we have the new life of baptism, are we really free to go out and live it? Or do we remain, as the church fathers see, symbolically, these bands represent our sins? Many of us, though baptized, have not yet experienced this full freedom that Lazarus is to experience when he is untied. One of my great experiences of my own life, when I was quite afraid, in fact, didn't want to be a priest because I was so afraid of it, was when a priest told me about the fact that when you are studying to be a priest, you would have to go and be chaplain at a hospital for an entire summer. I did not want to go to a hospital. In fact, that was one of the reasons why I was pretty sure I was not going to be a priest, because I knew that priests had to go and minister to those in the hospital. And finally, my time came in seminary when I actually came, and I lived here at Cure of Ars for the summer, and I worked at Research Medical Center. And although I was pretty sure I was called to be a priest at this time, I admit I was still pretty terrified of trying something that seemed so incredibly new and radical as to go work at a hospital. But when I got there, I knew that if I was really going to be free, if I was going to be able to be a good priest, if I was going to be a good Christian, I knew that I had to get over this fear of people dying and being able to be there as people are dying and being able to help people. So I'll never forget that kind of first moment when we were there in our first week, and our supervisor said, well, now you need to write down your choices for what area of the hospital you would like to work in. And I was sharing this story with the scouts the other night, and they were very interested in what it was like to be a hospital chaplain. And I remember that when I got that sheet that asked me, where do I want to work in the hospital, I knew that I felt that I was still kind of afraid and tied, as it were, and I needed to get over that if I was going to truly live, especially as a priest. So I actually put down on my sheet that I would like to have as my unit the trauma center and the emergency room. Because I said, look, if I'm going to have this summer, I have got to get over my fears of what keeps me from being fully alive. So give me the biggest, baddest assignment that there could possibly be. And I remember my supervisor looking at me saying, trauma? Wow, not many people request that. It's pretty intense. I'm like, I got to do it. I got to get over this. And it was, boy, the first time that they roll in with the people that are dying and I got to be calling their parents, it was fearful and traumatic. But eventually I started to get over that. I started to get to know the doctors and nurses and found that even though they were there and did this full time, that they too had fear and sadness over people dying and death. And pretty soon I got to know those people and form a team, and I got to become more comfortable with this, such that by the end of the summer, I remember walking through the trauma center with my supervisor. And we walked in, and the doctors and nurses, hey, Chaplain Sean, good to see you. How are you today? And Chaplain Sean's here. Oh, Sean's here. Let's go talk to him. And my supervisor's like, dang, you're like the mayor of the ER. I'm like, And it kind of hit me, wow, that's really what God can do. If we're willing to step out a little bit, God will open up the opportunities for us that the thing we're most afraid of, God will allow us to be untied from. You know, we've maybe had this experience of Lazarus. We've been reborn in baptism. But what ways are we still afraid? You know, one of the great opportunities that's coming up is our Christ Renews His Parish retreats. Beautifully, they're going to come right after Easter, right after the church has had this beautiful experience of rising from the dead, hearing Jesus tell us, come out. I think many of us could find ourselves still afraid a little bit. Maybe when I even say the words, come on a retreat, you're like, I couldn't do that. I'm afraid. I don't like retreats. I don't like people. I've never been on a retreat. I don't know what to expect. I'm a little scared, a little afraid. I can tell you, don't be afraid. In the beautiful joy of Easter, we hear Jesus tell all of us, come out. But then more importantly, he wants to untie us and let us go. And I just share that with you today as we encourage you to sign up for the Christ Renews retreats, because in many ways, we're afraid. And I see the example of people who make this retreat who say, yeah, I don't know what to expect, but I'm going to do it. You have no idea the kind of new life that comes from those people. They are truly untied and let go. And all of a sudden, people who were afraid to even mention their names in this church are involved in different things and on committees, and they're coming back and learning. And it's almost like they become the mayor of Cure of Ars. Little scared people just like you who say, all right, God, I'm going to do it. I don't know what to expect. I'm afraid, but I'm going to do it, and I trust you. It's amazing, the new life that comes from a retreat like this. So I just leave you today that there are two parts to this miracle. One is to hear Jesus tell us, rise, come out. And that's what Lazarus experiences. That's what our catechumens are about to experience in baptism. But the second part, we have to be free, to be fully alive. We can't just stay in the tomb alive. Imagine if Lazarus had been raised and he just stayed in the tomb. A lot of us, though alive in baptism, are kind of stuck in darkness still. This Easter, I invite you to come out, take bolder steps, maybe even make the Christ Renews His Parish retreats in April to celebrate the joy of Easter, but to hear Jesus say to you, be untied, go free, and be fully alive. Do not be afraid to say yes to this great invitation.